Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Four people injured in an SUV hit them last night in Beverly Hills. This was during the big holiday lighting event. So let's go live now to Craig Figner.
Yeah, good morning. They expected these four people. They certainly expected probably to have, you know, nice, fun memories of the holiday lighting event. Instead, memories of being hit by this big BMW X3 SUV and then a trip to the hospital. Happened about 7 o'clock last evening here at Wilshire and Camden. The SUV had been carjacked, according to the Beverly Hills Police Department. The guy behind the wheel, a couple blocks away, took it, sped off, lost control, and right here at this corner, slammed into people and crushed up the front of the building on the corner.
We heard the car and we turned.
Well, it was like an SUV.
It was a black SUV. We thought, oh, he's going awfully fast. And then we heard the engine rev. He slammed right into the building. And when we turned around, we thought it was maybe somebody who made a mistake, hit the gas instead of the brake. Then the suspect jumped out of the car and took off. That's when we noticed some people were hurt.
Were they bloodied?
No. I saw that there was a dog under the car, so I'm the one screaming, there's a dog under the car. And, of course, now everyone's been asking, how's the dog? The dog seemed okay.
All right. The guy who was behind the wheel, he ran. They caught him. He's been booked on suspicion of hit and run and the carjacking. He's 22 years of age and from Pittsburgh.
Our Craig Figner there in Beverly Hills on that. Turning to Washington now and some of the president-elect's cabinet picks under new scrutiny. Members of the House Ethics Committee meeting privately today to talk about a report on the former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, the pick for attorney general. They've been looking at him, the committee had, over allegations including sexual misconduct. CBS News correspondent Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill.
Now that he's a former member of Congress, the custom is the House Ethics Committee drops the case. They no longer have jurisdiction over a former congressman, and that has been custom for many years. But the Senate Democrats want a copy of that report. In fact, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee made a formal ask that they release to the Senate the findings of that investigation. Any number of other Senate Democrats have said they're calling on it or demanding it too.
The transition team also defending the pick for defense secretary. There's an old allegation that's resurfaced.
Fox News host and Trump's pick for defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, was investigated for alleged sexual assault in 2017, according to the city of Monterey, California. The city released a statement about the case after receiving numerous public record requests, including from CBS News. The incident involving the Army veteran and an unknown woman happened at a Hyatt hotel in the city in October 2017. A police report was filed a few days later and mentioned injuries, including contusions and right thigh, but no charges were ever filed.
CBS correspondent Wen Gillette says Trump's team has released a statement pointing to that lack of charges.
Organizers of the 28 Olympics in L.A. said they say that Trump's presidency won't affect the funding for the games. L.A. 28 has a nearly $7 billion budget, and while security costs will be covered by the feds, no federal funds will go directly into the games. The security will be handled by agencies, including the Secret Service. The game's on track. The new venue's being developed.
20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by Oseron Law, the injured workers hotline.
So a lot of people talking about this choice by Donald Trump of RFK Jr. as health secretary. We talked about it this morning with CBS News health reporter Alex Tin, who tells us the selection is different from the past HHS secretaries.
It's interesting because typically with an HHS secretary pick, they come into office saying that they support the president's platform, and maybe they have one or two specific issues that are on their resume that, you know, they're particularly interested in related to health. RFK Jr. is very different. You know, we've heard the president-elect say that he, quote, will allow Kennedy to go wild on health issues. And Kennedy is coming into this pick with a long list of ambitious policy proposals and ideas to dramatically reshape not just the public health infrastructure in the United States, but also the Republican approach to a lot of these ideas. A lot of his ideas are not things that traditionally Republicans or conservatives have often supported, and it's going to be interesting to see how those play out. as he goes through the nomination process.
People worry about the vaccine thing. Some people label him as a skeptic. Some say, no, it's more of a conspiracy theory kind of thing. What has he actually said about what his approach would be to vaccines specifically, like in this job?
Yeah, well, like you said, you know, he has this long record of misleading statements about vaccine safety, but he has specifically said that in this role, he, quote, is not anti-vaccine and will not work to ban vaccines, instead claiming his only goal is to, quote, restore the transparency around the secret records he claims that HHS officials have been hiding about vaccines. HHS officials have been clear that there are no secret records, but they are hoping to find common ground with Kennedy as he comes into this role, share with him whatever data they can, and maybe potentially persuade him to maybe come over to their side.
When you look at this long list of goals, based on what you know about the HHS, how likely is it that he'll be able to make the changes that he wants to?
Well, the reality is that the HHS secretary has a lot of authority, and we have heard from the president-elect that he has promised to give Kennedy wide latitude to implement a lot of these changes. You know, some of these could just be the same as changing, you know, for example, the CDC's recommendation on water fluoridation. That's something that he would have the authority to intervene on, or changing the way that the FDA regulates certain types of drug and supplement products. But obviously, some of the other things he has proposed, like banning, you know, TV drug ads, or changing the way that drug makers are charged in order to go through the process of FDA approval. I mean, those are things that are going to require Congress to sign off on. And those are things that a lot of supporters within the, you know, the Republican conservative factions that have supported the president up until now will probably at least find some opposition to.
That is CBS News health reporter Alex Tin. X filing another lawsuit against California, this time over a new social media law. And the Shark Lab in Long Beach has been running out of money. They're looking for donations. More as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
How about a vote count update for Republican Rep. Michelle Steele, leading the Democrat challenger Derek Tran by a really slim margin. It's just 236 votes now. That's down from 7,500. That was her lead a week ago. This is the 45th district, so it's a central OC and southern LA County, one of a handful of races that have yet to be decided. More results expected today, but no timeline on when it's all going to be done. But yeah, just 236 votes between them.
So yes, X is suing California, this time over this social media law. They argue it forces them to censor certain posts and it violates their First Amendment rights. California's new law requires social media platforms with at least 1 million users in the state to remove misleading election-related content.
Can we save the Shark Lab so we know where the sharks are? And can we do it by December 31st?
The Cal State Shark Lab state funding is running out.
You know, right now we've been focusing on a lot of this research. Our funding, our state funding runs out next month, and then we're out of business.
The lab's Chris Lowe says they need a little more than $800,000 a year to keep operating.
And the state budget, as most people know, is pretty bad right now. We hope it's going to get better in a year or two. And we hope to get state funding again. But in the meantime, for us to stay operational, we need private donations to keep us going.
He says the lab is needed.
Ocean recreation is a $1 billion industry in California. So, you know, a lot of the work we do helps keep people safe and it helps keep sharks safe. We want to keep doing that work. We've made great progress. We have even some big plans for the next steps, but we need money to do that.
The lab operates to prevent shark attacks through research, education, and outreach. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
A man is accused of killing an egret at Lake Gregory in the San Bernardino Mountains. He's 36 years old. He's from Claremont, arrested for animal cruelty after witnesses say they saw him throwing rocks at ducks and also hitting the egret. The bird was well known to visitors and had become a local favorite. They'd even named him Arthur.
New drug, it's deadlier than fentanyl, showing up in the illegal drug supply here in the U.S. Here's Emily Valdez.
They're called nitazenes, a class of drugs developed in the 1950s as painkillers, but never FDA approved. Now illegal drug manufacturers are making them, mixing them in with cocaine, counterfeit pills, heroin, and meth. Matthew Allen is a special agent in charge for the DEA in Los Angeles.
The amount of fentanyl that would fit on the tip of a pen, you know, is deadly. And with nitazenes being even more potent, I don't have to explain that.
He says nitazenes are mostly found in drugs on the East Coast, but he expects to see more of them in Southern California's illegal drug supply.
They add something like a nitazene or fentanyl to the drugs they already have, and then they are able to quadruple, you know, their product sometimes. So it's all about money. It's all about greed. You know, honestly, they don't care who they hurt.
Another problem with nitazenes, they don't show up on a fentanyl test strip. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News 97.1 FM.
There's a new study that finds obesity in America has doubled over the past 3 decades.
A study in the journal Lancet estimates around 1 in 5 children, 1 in 3 adolescents, and 2 in 3 adults will be obese by 2050. The study's lead author, Marie Ng.
We're expecting the number of people experiencing obesity and overweight to rise to 260. Million.
Obesity is at its highest levels in southern states like Texas and Oklahoma, and it's going to get worse.
We're expecting like 43 million children who will have experienced overweight and obesity by 2050.
Ng says over 800 million adults now live with diabetes worldwide. Brad Gibson for CBS News.
Boy Scouts of America auctioning off some artwork today to pay off part of a recent settlement.
The auction here in Dallas includes 25 items, including 5 paintings by Norman Rockwell. Settlement trustee Barbara Hauser says the money will support survivors of abuse.
They have waited literally decades, multiple decades, for someone to acknowledge what happened to them.
Heritage Auctions' Aviva Lehman says 1969's Beyond the Easel is one of few self-portraits by Rockwell, showing him with several Boy Scouts.
It was an incredibly important and special part of his career in life.
Bidding for that's reached about $250,000. Alan Skaya for CBS News, Dallas.
Fighting continued between Israel and Hezbollah across Israel's northern border, despite reports of a movement toward a ceasefire.
The strikes came after the Israeli army issued evacuation warnings for 2 buildings. Lebanese officials said at least 5 people were killed in the Israeli strikes. Hezbollah continued to fire dozens of rockets at northern Israel, and an Israeli officer was killed in an exchange of fire in south Lebanon. The U.S. ambassador to Lebanon met with Lebanese officials and gave them a draft of a ceasefire proposal between Israel and Hezbollah.
That is reporter Linda Gradstein.
Self-driving car company Cruise admitting to a federal charge, agreeing to pay $500,000 fine after one of its cars caused a bad accident in the Bay Area. Plea deal with the Justice Department. They admit to filing a false report on this to impede the investigation. Driverless car hit a woman and dragged her. In addition to the fine, they're going to pay $1.5 million for not reporting the accident fully. Companies under new leadership now, they're promising more transparency. They're not back here yet, but they're back in Arizona doing the testing with somebody behind the wheel, just in case.
There is some new information that shows cities and states in Asia and the U.S. emit the most heat-trapping gas that contributes to climate change.
Shanghai is the most polluting area in the world, according to new data combining observations and artificial intelligence. The top polluting states or provinces are all in Asia, except for Texas, which ranks 6th. The data was released during United Nations climate talks in Azerbaijan, where countries are trying to set new targets to cut emissions. But the talks have stalled, with some former climate officials calling for an urgent overhaul of the negotiations. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
It is a SoCal holiday tradition. Tickets go on sale today at noon for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. It is at the Kia Forum December 14th, and this year the headliners include the Smashing Pumpkins, Beck, Sublime, and Jimmy Eat World. Our Rob Archer talked with Klein and Allie from K-Rock about the show and how it stands out in a very crowded and expensive landscape of live music.
The concert world is so oversaturated now, and the tickets are so overpriced that people are a lot pickier about the shows that they want to attend. And with Almost Acoustic, you're getting 10 bands in one night.
Tickets, I think, are starting at under $100, I believe.
Oh, yeah, 50 to
For
200.
For 10 bands?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. $100.
Yeah, I think it's like 50 cents a band. I'm not great at math, so you're going to have to check my math on that, but it works out to a pretty amazing price. And, you know, you think about like all of the massive festivals, the Coachellas of the world. I mean, long before there were these massive festivals, K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas in many ways started the concept of bringing a bunch of bands together on a lineup that belong together, but also that there's some difference between the bands. And I will say, and you'll have to check my source on this, but I believe also the inventor of the rotating stage, that's one of the coolest parts about K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. There is no 30-minute stop down between bands. They are rotating on a stage. One band plays the last note. We go out there and we say, now it's time for 311. And as we're saying that, the stage is rotating and 311 starting to play. So once that show begins, there's like no downtime. I would recommend you wear a diaper because there is no bathroom break time.
That's how you could fit 10 bands in one night. You got to have the rotating stage.
Got to have the rotating stage.
Once it starts, it does not stop.
Does not stop. It's like a treadmill. We lose a lot of calories that night just trying to keep up with that stage.
Let's talk about Smashing Pumpkins. It's been a while, has it? Them playing the show is a really big deal. And let me ask the very important question about the Smashing Pumpkins. Is the world really a vampire?
I think that it's slowly sucking the life out of all of us. Yes, I would agree with that. But Smashing Pumpkins are newly exciting right now because they have a new guitar player. They went viral because they had put out an ad for a new guitar player. They took thousands and thousands of submissions. Billy Corgan himself listened to all the auditions, narrowed it down, and now they have a really exciting new female guitar player. So you'll be able to see her. But also you've got 311 and Beck and Jimmy Eat World, who always, especially Jimmy Eat World at Christmas time, is really always, I think, a great holiday tradition, don't you think, Clint?
Yeah, and what's cool about a lot of these bands that have done this, that do this lineup, they're not doing it for the paycheck. They're doing it because, trust me, K-Rock's not paying a lot of money. They're doing it because they have a debt of gratitude to K-Rock, the radio station, because a lot of these bands, and I know the Smashing Pumpkins, one of those bands that whenever they talk about how they broke and how they first kind of got an audience, it was through the power of 106.7 K-Rock. And so as a result, it's a great time of year to gather together. You know, we consider our old friends and bands that have been a part of the station, the DNA of the station, for so many years. And for some people, it's a soundtrack of your upbringing, your high school, your college, and then you get some of these bands that you're just now hearing break on K-Rock in the last few years, and it's like the perfect night.
Yeah, what's cool is that you know of people who have been to every single Almost Acoustic Christmas. They went when they were young, and it was some of the first concerts that they went to, and now they are bringing their kids. So it really is a holiday tradition.
Tickets go on sale again noon today, Ticketmaster.com, and some of the proceeds go to benefit two local organizations supporting youth education, Para Los Niños and Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center.